Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the prophecy of Isaiah, the 59th chapter, Isaiah chapter 59. And let us sing from Psalter 161, stanzas 2, 3, and 4. My enemies my ruin seek, and they plot with fraud and guile. Deceitful they pretend to bless, but inwardly revile. 2, 3, and 4 of Psalter 161.
Before we read the portion of God's Word, we will read the 12 articles of our undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Isaiah chapter 59. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleaded for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockroach's eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crust breaketh out into a vapor. Their web shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither does justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressors are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departed from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him, that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and an helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in a lake flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up, a standard against him. And a Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, said the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, said the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words, which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, said the Lord, from henceforth and forever.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, we have heard it in these moments out of thy holy word, that thine arm is not short in that it cannot save, neither is thine ear heavy that it cannot hear. But our iniquities have separated between us and thee. O, that thou may grant us instruction therein also in this afternoon hour, and that we may come to see who that we truly are, as thou declarest us to be in thy holy word. By nature we have no eyes to see it, and we have no ears to hear it. We have a heart that does not wish to believe it, and so we put it so far away from us. But by thy Spirit, and thou wilt bring it in the heart of thy church. Oh, that it may be the cry of each and every one in this afternoon hour. Oh, Lord, open my eyes, open my ears, open my heart, that I may also be given to understand, and that I may become the manslayer, and that that city of refuge may be precious unto me, and that I may see that I am sick, and that that physician also may be suitable to my case. Then it is so necessary that thy word and that thy law may have a place in our hearts. And when we are to consider thy law again in this afternoon hour, and that evil that lives within the heart of each and every one of us, so that there is not one that is able to put his hand into his own bosom and to take it out clean, but that we must say we have all transgressed against thee. Oh, could it please thee in a personal way to bring that word home unto us, the cockatrice eggs that we also have hatched, and that we may become a sinner before God, and that there may be hope for us as we are traveling to that great eternity. Instruct us then in this afternoon out of thy word of truth, and that thy judgment also may be brought home to the hearts in a personal way, and that we may become guilty before thee. And wilt thou remember us then when thy word will be brought? Help us to bring that word in all the force which thou givest it in thy holy word, and that we may not diminish aught, that we may add nothing thereto, but that that word may be unto us as a sharp two-edged sword, and piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and of the marrow, and that we each and every one may be given to go from this place as the guilty one, and that we may receive a place in that kingdom where thou wilt take each and every one of thy children for thy own. Remember thou young and old together in all the needs and the cares also of this life, and wilt thou supply for all those that are afflicted, and those that have special needs, those that mourn, those that are weak, those that are old, those that are lonely, and those that have difficulties of the mind. Supply thou as thou alone art able to do for those also that are in the nursing home. Wilt thou remember them in old age, in the affliction and breaking down of the body, and that thou may give unto them to feel something of thy help from above, and that the last days of life may be experienced to be the best days. Remember all those that are afflicted and persecuted and tried for the sake of thy holy name. For this is unto them no shame, but it is yet a great trial. Oh, that thou may be near unto them where they are, and those that are persecuted even unto death. O Lord, that thou may thyself watch over and protect them in thy mercy, and cause that thy name may be proclaimed over this whole world, and that many may be brought to true repentance, for thou hast the heart also of the enemy in thy hand, and thou art able to stop in one moment at the greatest, the chiefest of the sinners. Lord, that thou may remember also the Jewish nation, and thou knowest how that they are hated over this whole world. O Satan also desires that they may be consumed. But wilt thou grant that they also may receive the opening of their eyes, and that they may see the truth concerning thee and thy only begotten Son, and that they may come to the acknowledgement of thee, and that many may be brought also from among them, from that darkness wherein they do grope, even in the noonday, or then they look for light but behold obscurity, and for brightness but behold darkness. Oh, then wilt thou take the scales from off of their eyes, and wilt thou grant them to see. Remember each and every one of those who bring thy word also in those places. Wilt thou remember and help them from above in all the needs and wants and cares, those that labor upon the mission fields, and be on their right and on their left in thy mercy. And wilt thou cause thy kingdom to come among Jew and Gentile. And wilt thou look upon our nations, those that govern us, wilt thou remember them in all their needs in the place in which thou hast placed them in this world. And when they are brought into places of judgment, and they are called to consider thee and thy holy word, wilt thou remember them and cause their hearts to weep, their knees to bend, their hearts to turn once again unto the true and the living God, that thy word may receive a place once again, even as it has been in former times, and that also we as great nations in the midst of this world, and may be brought to our knees before thee, the great and the living God, to confess all our iniquity and our sin, and to seek of thee forgiveness, that we may turn therefrom, that we may walk according to thy law and to thy testimonies. Remember thou in a special way the unborn children. And thou knowest the danger wherein they are in the days in which we live. Wilt thou supply for them as thou alone art able to do? And wilt thou cause that also those laws that are pointed to their death may be overturned, that it may be for their life and for their protection? Wilt thou not deal with us as nations according to our sins, For the blood is upon our hands also, and is running in the streets. Oh, that thou may turn us again and not deal with us as we so justly deserve. Look thou upon a young and old together, the children, the youth, in the days when their hearts are still tender. Oh, give them that they may not harden themselves in the ways of sin, in following Satan and all his devices, which are so drawing and pleasing unto our flesh. Oh, cause them in the days of their youth to remember their Creator. And wilt thou have mercy upon us as a congregation, as a denomination, and that thou may turn us back unto the ways of our fathers in the ways as we go through this world, but also in those doctrines which are according to thy holy word. Oh, that thou may keep us with thy truth, and that thou may lead us in that truth, that we may experience that truth within our hearts. Remember thou us as a consistory. Help us from day to day in all the labors of our hands, in our consistory meetings, in instructing of the youth, in visiting the families and the sick. Wilt thou be on our right and on our left hand, and that the labors that are performed from day to day and from week to week amidst this flock over which thou hast made us overseers, or that they may be sanctified and blessed, that there may be a supplication also at the throne of grace in the midst of our families, of individuals in the secret chamber, on our behalf, and that thou may uphold us together, and that thou may give us what is necessary to perform our labors, and that the children and that our young people and may be given what is necessary to be instructed and to learn their questions and their answers from week to week. Oh, wilt thou help them? Satan is against it. But wilt thou give them to be able to remember them, and that thou may instruct them also thereby, our school, and all those that labor therein, be thou on the right hand from day to day. And wilt thou supply for the school board and all those that are connected to that great work? Wilt thou supply for us as parents? Give us to know our responsibility not only, but also to walk it in our life, leading our children not in the ways of vanity, but could it be in the tender fear of thy holy name? Remember thou us in this afternoon hour. Help us to bring this portion of thy law, and may thou thyself be in our midst to grant thy indispensable blessing for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 6, stanzas 1 through 4. My righteous God, who oft of old hast saved from troubles manifold, give answer when I call to thee. Be gracious now and hear my plea. The last collection is for the parking lot lighting, at Psalter number 6, 1 through 4. Behold, thou desirest the truth in the inward parts. Who was a congregation that has spoken these words? That was King David, Psalm 51. That was in the acknowledgement of his own sin. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. David has tried to cover the truth. David has tried to hide the truth, but the Lord would not let him. The Lord did not allow him to go in the way that his heart desired. And that was a very great mercy. When the Lord does not permit us to go our own way, God is a God of truth. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Thus everything that is opposed to truth, that is also opposed to God. The Lord Jesus said to the Pharisees, ye are of your father, the devil. And he was the murderer from the beginning. He abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, and for he is a liar, and he is the father of lies. Thus, congregation, he has set over against one another two things. That is, the lie over against the truth, just as God is himself set over against the devil himself. And thus it cannot but be, but that the lie that is an abomination unto God. And therefore, he says, thou shalt not bear false witness. This we consider together in Lord's Day 43, question 112. Lord's Day 43, question 112. What is required in the ninth commandment? Answer, that I bear false witness against no man, nor falsify any man's words. That I be no backbiter, nor slanderer, that I do not judge, nor join in condemning any man rashly or unheard, but that I avoid all sorts of lies and deceit as the proper works of the devil, unless I would bring down upon me the heavy wrath of God. Likewise, that in judgment and in all other dealings, I love the truth, speak it uprightly, and confess it, also that I defend and promote, as much as I am able, the honor and good character of my neighbor. So far, our Lord's Day. Truthfulness among men, first, opposing truthfulness. Second, upholding truthfulness. Truthfulness among men, first, opposing. Second, upholding truthfulness. Pilate's congregation asked, what is truth? That ought to be the question. And that is asked by every judge. That ought to be the foremost concern of every judge in this entire world. That is, what is truth? Their office is an office that is instituted by God. And God Himself is judge of all. God also is the judge of every judge. Then the judge has in a very special way to desire to know and to uphold the truth, that he may give a righteous sentence, that he may justify the righteous, that he may condemn the wicked. That is not only for the judgment seat, but that is for everyone that has received that place of judgment in this world. That is by times also us as a consistory, as office bearers. That is also you as fathers and mothers. That is also you by times as teachers in our school. And that you are called to stand in that place of judgment, wherein the Lord calls us to ask, what is truth? The ninth commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. That has in the very first place to do with judgment. And then all the other things, they are flowing out of this. Thus thou shalt not bear false witness. What is a witness? A witness is one who has seen. A witness is one who has heard. Thus a witness is one who knows the truth. They have been there. They have had that experience. And now our commandment for this afternoon that speaks about a false witness. Thus, that is an awful thing. Even the very terms themselves to think about what a false witness is. When a witness that has to do everything with the truth, and then to think that it is possible that there would be a witness who would be false. That is to take that which is true and to turn it into the lie. That is to take that which is of God and make it into that which is clearly of the devil. It is an awful thing when we have become in this world the object of false witness, especially when those things which are a witness against us cannot be proven. Naboth was stoned under false witness. And then he had to experience something of the helplessness against those who brought in that witness, and the power of the devil and the power of evil as it is being performed in this world. Joseph, even when he was young people, he was the object of false witness. And he could not defend himself, because then there was only one word over against another word, but it was a false word. And there was no man that did know, but only the Lord. Then it was for him a great comfort that the Lord, he knew everything. But yet in this world, in the providence of the Lord, then Joseph still had to suffer for this, that he was cast into prison. David, he says that his enemies, they wet their tongues like swords. Even, he says, bitter words. And that was, he says, that they may shoot them in secret. That is, that they did not shoot those words to him, but they shot those words in secret, that is, behind his back, then he was not able to defend himself. And yet he had a comfort, because we read that David says that the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. For he says, I have kept the ways of the Lord, and I have not wickedly departed from my God. Say, was David then in his own eyes such a righteous man that he says that the Lord rewarded him according to his righteousness? No. No, that is not the case. Only read the Psalms and the confessions of David. But it was in this case with Saul that David may say uprightly in his heart that he had not transgressed against his father-in-law. Thus David may have a clear conscience before the Lord when he lay under all of those false accusations. Even Christ was condemned under false accusation. That was really the only way he could be condemned, because if there was a false witness, if there was a true witness, then he could not be condemned. But thus we can read in God's word that people, they have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of their infirmities, who was tempted in all points like as they are, and yet without sin. That I bear false witness against no man, nor falsify any man's words. Congregation, are we guilty of this? To falsify another man's words. That is, that we repeat what he says, but in a way that we know that he did not mean it. That does not speak about a mistake. No, but that speaks about a willful misconstruing of the words of a person, that he is made to say something that actually he never said. So, boys and girls, Gehazi did that too with the prophet of the Lord, didn't he? When he went unto a name in the Syrian, and then he lied, and he says, God's servant, he is asking you for a little money, and he is asking you for some garments, because then he has received now some visitors. Oh, what damage. What damage did Gehazi not do to Elisha, no, but to the Lord and to the word of the Lord, because the servant of the Lord, he would take nothing. Why? Because then he would show that heathen man that the gift of God that was without money, that the gift of God was without price. And then you see what that twisting of that word of the prophet did. Nor falsify any man's words, that I be, we read, no backbiter. What is that, a backbiter? A backbiter is one who is biting behind the back. Thus the Bible, that speaks much about tale-bearing. And Solomon, he says that the words of a talebearer, they are as wounds, and they are going down into the innermost part of the belly. We can read that Peter speaks about busybodies in other men's matters. We call them in our day gossips. A person who delights to be the first one to tell the evil news about his brother. But Solomon says, a talebearer revealeth secrets, but a faithful man, he conceals the matter. Oh, then he hides what is negative about his neighbor because love that is covering a multitude of sins. Congregation, time is short, eternity is long. What are we doing with our time? Because the Lord Jesus, he says that every idle word that men shall speak, and they shall give an account thereof in that day of judgment. That I be no backbiter, nor slanderer. What is that? That is actually more than backbiting. Because it is possible I bring a tale which is not nice, which does not need to be said, but that it is still true. But now slandering, that is to say something that actually is not even true. And so, children, we think about Ziba. Do you remember Ziba? Ziba was the servant of whom? You say was the servant of Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth, lame on both his feet. He could not go to King David, and when he had to flee. And what did Ziba do? Oh, David is asking, and where is your master? Oh, king, and my master, he wants now to become the king. He sees you have to flee. Now he thinks that he is going to become a king instead of you. And Mephibosheth, well, he cannot say anything. Thus, slander. That is not so easily taken back. That is not so easily come against. Because once that is finished, then that is being spread throughout this world. If you will take, young people, your feather pillow and you will open that in the wind, then you cannot get those feathers back so easily, can you? No, then they are flying all over this world. And so when we will slander a person, and when we will say evil about his good name, that good name which is a precious thing, the Lord says in his word, and then we do, according to God's word, a very great evil. Christ says that the church should expect this. Blessed, he says, are ye when men shall say all manner of evil against you, not rightly, but falsely, for my name's sake. Paul says we are made as the filth of the world, and we are the offscouring of all things unto this day. Thus, that is not a shame. No, Peter, he says that it is a shame. He says, let not one of you suffer as an evildoer. Let it not be true. But he says, if any of you suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Thus, it is actually not a shame when a man has to go over this world under such a persecution and under such an affliction. That was that affliction that Christ himself has gone under in this world. That I do not judge nor join in condemning any man rashly or unheard, but that I avoid all sorts of lies and deceit as the proper works of the devil, unless I would bring down upon me the heavy wrath of God. Our fathers, they speak as it says in God's word, because that lie that is the proper work of the devil, then it cannot be but that it is bringing down the heavy wrath of God upon a man. We can read of Jehoshaphat that he met with Ahab. And Ahab, he was speaking false things about Micaiah, the prophet of the Lord. And what did Jehoshaphat do? Say, that was a difficult circumstance. What is he going to say now? But what do we read? Then he says, let not the king say so. Thus, he rebuked King Ahab. But how many of us are afraid, congregation, to do so? And how many of us rather do even as David, who judge a man before that he is completely heard? You remember, children, we just spoke about Ziba and Mephibosheth. And later on, then Mephibosheth, he gets the opportunity to speak to David. And then, well, David hears just a little bit, and he doesn't want to hear any more. And he said, thou and Ziba, divide the land. Oh, how is it with us? Also as parents, also as teachers, do we listen to our children? And when they want to tell us what their difficulty is, that we may be able rightly to judge between the one and the other, because when we are cutting this off, then it is often the liar and it is often the deceiver that are gaining the upper hand. And the Lord has placed us in that place of judgment, and we are called to do the opposite. And that is, as we see in our second thought, to uphold that truth. Likewise, that in judgment and all other dealings, I love the truth, speak it uprightly, and confess it. That I love the truth, their congregation, is the beginning. The beginning is living in my heart. All the sin, and that is not beginning in the outward word, it is not beginning in the outward deed, but it is beginning in our heart. And now the Lord says that we must love the truth, because loving the truth, and that comes before speaking the truth, that comes before confessing the truth. Did it ever go round in your mind whether or not you should tell the truth? Oh, just that dilemma that has gone round in our mind, that is a proof of our deep fall. Because if we have to make that decision between the one and the other, that shows that we do not love the truth as we ought to love the truth. Before we fell, there was no such decision making. No, then there was only that desire to say the truth. There was a love for the truth. And when that dilemma was in your mind, then what was the decision? Gehazi, he said, thy servant went not with her. Oh, we are more ready to save our own skin than we are ready to uphold the truth. And why? Oh, that begins in our hearts. That is what we are by nature. That is that lack of love for the truth that ought to be living within us moment by moment. Congregation, we have heard the whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Oh, we have heard and that city of refuge that was only desirable for the manslayer. Oh, did the Lord ever show to us that we are the liar, and that lie that is actually living within our heart? Does every man then deserve to know from us all the truth? That is a difficult question. Because in judgment, when we come into the court, or when you are brought, boys and girls, before your father or your mother, then we are expected to say the whole truth, not just half the truth, but the whole thing. And yet there are times, there are circumstances in this world that it is not necessary. There are times in this world that it is not expedient. Because Solomon, he says that a fool, he utters all his mind. When the Lord said to Samuel that he must go to anoint David to be king, Samuel says, Saul will know it, he will kill me. And what did the Lord say? He said, take thee an heifer, and say, I am come to do sacrifice unto the Lord. Then Samuel, you must not say everything. And why not? Because Saul had made himself unworthy of that truth. Thus, the Lord says, there is something that you must now hide from him. The Lord Jesus said to the Pharisees and scribes, neither do I tell you by what authority that I do these things. Why not? Because he says it was not expedient for him to cast the pearls of truth before these swine. And yet we must be careful with our deceitful hearts. And on the other side, never to lie. We think about Rahab. Oh, Rahab, we read that she was a woman of faith. But congregation, she did not need to lie. Because the Lord, he does not need our lies. He does not need what is the proper work of the devil, that he may fulfill his own work. Thus that lie actually comes out of nothing but unbelief. Let us sing 271, 2 and 3, on what is base and evil. I will not set my heart transgressors' ways abhorring, with them I take no part. No froward man or evil shall my companion be. I will not suffer slander or pride or treachery. 2 and 3 of Psalter 271. Likewise, that in judgment and all other dealings I love the truth. Speak it uprightly and confess it. Also that I defend and promote as much as I am able the honor and good character of my neighbor. It is possible that we also make ourselves guilty by our silence, because there are times wherein we are called to speak. Our fathers say to speak and to confess the truth. Father and mother of that man that was born blind and healed by Christ, and they did not dare to confess that truth, though they knew what that truth was. It was a very difficult thing for them. But David, Jonathan, we read he has defended David before his father. And when his father was very angry and at the very peril of his own life, then he has spoken good for David, who was innocent. And now the ninth commandment, that is speaking in a special way about witnessing for the truth in judgment. And it is our responsibility, each one to stand and to speak the truth for the sake of those who are innocent. We live in a day that all kinds of unjust causes are defended, and wherein the laws of the land are making this defense of unjust causes possible. As members of the church, we are not free to claim every right of a citizen in our time, in this world, which is legal. Thus, there are things in our time which are made legal, but we ourselves, as members of the church, have no access to them. Actually, when we become a member and when we make our confession before the Lord, then we are actually giving up some of those legal rights of men in our land. We will give you an example, a simple example. Our law today says that a man or a woman may divorce her husband, his wife, upon any ground. Thus, it does not have to be on the ground of adultery, but it can just simply be because they do not wish to live together anymore. The law of this land gives that legal right to everyone here who is married. But when we have made confession in the church, then we have made a vow that we will not use that legal right in the court. Another example, the law of our land that makes it possible for you as members of the church to close my mouth as your minister or as your consistory. That is, when you would come to me and make a certain confession that you had committed some crime, then when you are brought into the court, then you are able to say that my minister may not speak, and that he may not say the things which I have told him. That is what is called the clergy penitent privilege. Thus, that is to close the mouth of someone whom that you have made a confession to. Where does that privilege come from? That comes actually from the Roman Catholic Church. Because Rome says that penitence, that is a sacrament, it is one of the seven sacraments of the Roman Catholic Church. Thus, it is required for your salvation that you will come to the priest and you will tell the priest what you have done. And if you do not come to tell him what you have done, then you are lost. Thus, that priest knows what that sin is. And if now that church that says if that priest is just like the rest of you, he is required to come and to testify against a person everything that he knows, well, then no man is going to come and to say what his sins are anymore, and no one anymore can be saved. And that is the reason that the clergy, they have been exempted from testifying. And that it is possible that a person, he is maintaining this right, and that his minister does not testify. But confession is no sacrament. And the sins of a man do not need to come to us in order for a man to be forgiven. No, they do not need to come to the consistory. They do not need to come to the minister. Our sin that needs to be confessed to one another, and our sin that needs to be confessed before God. And now for a man to silence a clergyman in order that he may cover his guilt while he is standing in the court, that is contrary to the ninth commandment. Because in the first place, we are bearing false witness ourselves. Then we are denying the truth. What we have said to the clergyman, we ought also to say in the court. And we must confess what we have done. And then we are placing, if we are going to take hold of that right, to that clergy privilege, then we are placing our minister or our elders to whom we have made that confession. We are placing them under a great burden of conscience. Why? Because they are not able anymore to confess the truth. And they are no longer able to defend that person whom they know is innocent. And whereas the Lord, he says that they must open their mouth for the dumb in the cause of all those who are committed to destruction. Thus our fathers, they say that we must speak and uprightly confess the truth and defend and promote the honor and the good character of my neighbor. Nobody met noble Ebed-Melech, who has gone in unto the king to speak for Jeremiah, who was innocent but who was lying in the bottom of that pit. Congregation, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. The first temptation that was in this world was a result of slander. You know what it was, young people? That was the result of slander. It was the slander of God by the devil. What did he say? Thou shalt not surely die. What did he say? He said, God is a liar. Satan, he is a slanderer. He is portraying God to be whom he is not. He slanders his name and he makes men to believe it. What does he say, boys and girls? What does the devil say? He says, God does not see you. He does not see you, what you are doing when you do evil. God does not know. No one knows. It is secret. That is a lie. It is the lie of the devil. Then he says, also, it will not be judged. You will not be punished. That is another lie. What is that lie? He says God is not just. God, he looks through his fingers at sin. And, well, we are people, we all make mistakes. It is not so bad. What does the devil say about the long suffering of God? He says, tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. He says that long suffering of God, that has no end. And so we can go on and on. The devil, we read that he is the liar from the beginning. And he portrays not only God in a false light, but he portrays also us unto ourselves in a false light. As if we are not really dead. As if we are not truly fallen. As if we do still have some spiritual ability left in us or given unto us by common grace. That all our righteousnesses are not as filthy rags. That we are no manslayer. That we are no liar. We do not need regeneration. No, we just need, a reformation. He makes man hope in his responsibility, as if that is enough. He assigns a dead man a place, a work in his own salvation, an active role. Oh, it is deceit upon deceit upon deceit. He will be judged. He will be brought into judgment. He was, but he also will be. When he will be cast finally into that eternal pit. But now in the meantime, what is the effect upon us? Because Adam believed him. Oh, we also believe him so often, do we not? There is coming a day when every lie of the devil that is going to be uncovered, then the truth is going to be made clear. Also, all those lies that are told at funeral homes so often in our days, they're all going to be uncovered. Did the Lord ever make you honest with yourself before Him? Because that is now the work of the Spirit of the Lord, to make us honest and to overturn all the lies of the devil, that we may know the truth. And that we desire to know the truth. even if we feel that that truth is against us. The Word of God is a true witness. It speaks about our creation. It witnesses to us of our fall. It witnesses to us of our sin. It witnesses also of redemption, of our corruption, of the salvation of the Lord, of damnation, and of glory. It is a true witness. Do we desire to know also that truth? The Lord Jesus, He said to those Jews that believed in Him, He says, if you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The lie does not make us free. Was David free in those 9 months when he hid the truth? Was he free? Oh, we read in the Bible just the opposite. He says, my bones waxed old within me all the day long. No, he was not free. His conscience was not free. But then when the Lord left him, not in that place, but brought him to that blessed and that true confession, oh, then the Lord forgave his sin, and then congregation, he was free indeed. Oh, then he received liberty. Oh, will we not ask the Lord, oh, Lord, teach me, oh, Lord, lead me in Thy truth. Amen. Lord of heaven and of earth, forgive, forgive, forgive. For Thou knowest all our hearts. And we are also, each one of us, liars. All then that lie that is living within. And we will make use of it when we think it necessary in this world for the protection of ourselves. But it is not for Thy honor, nor is it for our welfare. O, convert us. Grant life in our souls and that closeness to Thee, and Thou will make a man to be truthful. And wilt Thou cause Thy truth to receive a place also in the hearts of each and every one of us. And wilt Thou grant us and Thy blessing as we depart from Thy house in this afternoon. And wilt Thou go before us in the week that is to come, and all the labors of our hands, each one in his place, supply for the sick and for the needy. And wilt Thou draw our hearts unto Thyself, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 64, all stanzas. Lord, I lift my soul to Thee. O my God, I trust Thy might. Let not foes exult o'er me. Shame me not before their sight. And what follows in all stanzas of 64. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.